Okay, so this is always a topic that's timely for all occasions, but it's interesting during this particular time period, not as much during the 9 days as it is during the rest of the 3 weeks, but a little bit timely even during the 9 days, because Me'ikar Adin, Sfardim only hold of the Shavua Shechalbo Tisha B'Av to observe any avelus of the period, whereas Ashkenazim hold of the 3 weeks and then the 9 days, and then they're a little more machmer during the Shavua Shechalbo. So sometimes you're going to be stuck. For example, let's say someone just forgot to do laundry during the period leading up to the 9 days, just doesn't have anything. So some posts can recommend that if you're really stuck and you don't have any means to get something done, and it's necessary, so then you can take the minimal amount of things that you need to get done, and you can ask a Sfardi to do it for you. So because for him it's technically mutter. So that's one eitzah that sometimes you sometimes find, and it just lends itself to a general question that, you know, given that people come from different communities, and even within communities people have different rabbanim and different poskim, assuming they're all qualified, so one person might be machmir in a certain inyan, one might be mekel in a certain inyan. So what would be what's the halacha of asking someone who thinks that something is mutter to do if you think that it's asur to do? Are you allowed to appoint yourself a Shabbos Yid? You know, if this is actually a true story that happened on a predecessor to the current programs that go to Poland. So this is a previous incarnation of it, that they had a certain Rav who was officially the rabbi of the trip, and then there were other Torah personalities who were also there. And I remember a friend of mine who was there told me once that on the trip on Shabbos, so they handed out the Shabbos meals, and then they gave out the drinks were soda cans. So the rabbi who was the official rabbi of the trip, so just he made an announcement. He said no one's allowed to open the cans because you're not allowed to open soda cans on Shabbos, and because he holds it's an Isser D'Oraisa to do so, so you're not even allowed to ask someone who holds that it's mutter to open it for you. So whereupon there's this other individual without being asked decided to do a chesed for the whole trip and went around opening all the cans for people, saying, well, nobody asked me to do it, I'm just doing it on my own. And he went around the table opening the cans. So besides the incredibly negative chinuch message that this supposed mechanech was giving over, but the question, you know, the question was raised, was this psak correct? Is there an inyan that you're not allowed to ask someone who holds that it's mutter to do it for you? So what are some of the issues that could possibly come up when it comes to asking someone that holds it's mutter? Meaning he's not doing anything wrong according to his shita, so maybe it's enough that he holds that it's mutter, you could hold that it's usser, and you're allowed to ask him to do it for you. So in general, we have a concept. If you look in the first source, it's Gemara in Kiddushin, the beginning of the second parak. It says, "Minayin sheshlucho shel adam kimoso." How do we know that there's a rule called shlichus, that when I ask someone to be my messenger to do something, when they do it, it is considered as if I did it? Shenemar, right? V'shachtu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael bein harbayim, right? The entire congregation of the Jewish people has to slaughter a korban Pesach in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Does every single Jew actually slaughter Korban Pesach? That would be impossible. Right? There's a limited amount of time in which you can do the mitzvah, and there's a limited amount of space, despite the miraculous nature of the Beis HaMikdash. There was still, it's not pashut to get everything done. And it must not be that every single Jew actually did it. V'halo eino shochet ela echad. There was only one individual that would shecht it on behalf of an entire chabura. So, Ella, mikan, sheshlucho, shel adam kimoso. Rather, we see from here that the shliach of an individual is just like that individual. So if you point a shliach to do it for you, if you have a group of 10, 15, 20 people who appoint one individual to be the shliach, to shech the Korban Pesach for that entire group, so it's as if every single person is mekayim the mitzvah of shchitas ha-pesach. And therefore it's as if every single person in the group did the mitzvah themselves, and it's no worse necessarily because they appointed a messenger to do it for you. That's the concept of shlichus. So you can say, well, I'm going to ask this person to open the can for me. I hold it's an Isser Doraisa. So this person holds it's Heter Gomer. So I'm going to ask them to do it. But isn't this person like a shliach for me? So if they open the can for me, it's as if I am making them into a shliach, and now it's like I did it. So I'm in violation of the Isser through, you know, by proxy. It's by, since I appointed this person as a shliach for me to do it, so now it's as if I did it and I violated Shabbos. So is that a valid concern? What do you think? You think it's nothing? Okay, it's nothing. All right, well, let's move on then. So the question is that a valid concern? Is there really shlichus in cases like this? Can you appoint a shliach to it? You can appoint a shliach to shech the Korban Pesach. Can you appoint a shliach to be mechal Shabbos for you? Why not? Right, so there's a concept, as if you kept reading, right, so you can argue that that there's a concept called ein shliach l'dvar avera. You can say that there's no shliach to commit an avera. So the question is, what does that really mean, ein shliach l'dvar avera? So who's familiar with the concept of ein shliach l'dvar avera? Just wants to tell me what that means. Yeah? Right. Meaning, just to follow through. So what svara do we say there? Good. Divrei harav, v'divrei ha-talmid, divrei nishomin. Right? If the rabbi speaks and the student speaks, who are you going to listen to? Right? So you're supposed to, and it's not such a push of teretz anymore. Right? You're supposed to listen to the rabbi. So if the divrei harav, v'divrei ha-talmid, divrei nishomin means that you're supposed to, if Hashem speaks and he says, don't do this, and then you tell your friend, go ahead and do this, so your friend is not supposed to listen to you. And therefore, we say, ein shaliach l'dvar avera. What's the guy, you send your friend to go be mechal Shabbos. He goes up to Shemayim, and they say, you were mechal Shabbos. And he says, no, I was doing that as a shaliach for somebody else. He told me to do it. So they're going to tie it back to him. Who told you to listen? He told you to do an avera. You should have said, well, Hashem told me not to do an avera. You told me to do an avera. So who should I listen to? So it's a rhetorical question. You should have listened to Hashem, and therefore it's not considered as if the mishaleach did the avera. It's as if the shliach did the avera. So here that actually works out perfectly. Why? Because my old problem might have been that it's like I appointed him a shliach to be mechal Shabbos for me. So it's as if I was mechal Shabbos. But the answer is ein shliach l'dvar avera. Lididi, he's doing an avera. But he's not my shliach because he can't be doing an avera as my shliach. There's no such thing. And according to him, he's not doing anything wrong. So we're all good to go. You hear? So therefore, you can get out of the problem of making him that I made him a shliach because based on this concept of ein shliach l'dvar avera. Normally, we look at ein shliach l'dvar avera as a bad thing. Like, why would you have listened to this person and done this avera? But here it's actually very helpful because since he doesn't hold it's an avera anyway, so it doesn't affect him, and he's not my shliach because I hold it is an avera. I hold he shouldn't have listened to me in the first place, and therefore it works. So that's the svara that some want to apply to get rid of this possibility of shlichus anyway. That even if you would have been afraid that it's the person's considered like he was your shliach, he's not really necessarily considered your shliach in this case because of ein shliach l'dvar avera. Okay. So that's not 100% clear that's how ein shliach l'dvar avera works. There's a general question of Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aveira. Is that a halacha that he's not really your Shaliach? Or does it just mean, like, who told him to listen to you? It just means the Aveira is not Nityacheset back to the Mishaleach. But, of course, he's your Shaliach for all intents and purposes. So whatever the action does relate back to you, it's just that the Aveira doesn't relate back to you. For example, there's a tshuva of the No de Bihuda, I don't have it here, there's a tshuva of the No de Bihuda where he discusses a case where you appoint a shaliach to give your wife a get against her will. So he discusses based on the there's a cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom, one of the very, very early Rishonim, he made many charamim. Now, it's very important to keep in mind that not everything Rabbeinu Gershom made a cherem on was actually mutter before. So that what he did was he formalized certain isurim, and he made a cherem against those things. A cherem is a curse. That is, this is the Gemara in Moed Katan says, a cherem is a curse, and it's osios ramach. Person is considered to have 248 limbs in his body based on the Chazal's cheshbon, and therefore the cheirim is a curse that's nichnas into the ramach evarim, and it's supposed to cause you to die. So it's a curse from the giver of the cheirim that you should die. So that's really what a cheirim means. Now, when we say like a book is in cheirim, or a CD is in cheirim, or you know any rabbi worth anything is in cheirim, so. So that doesn't mean he's really in cherem. It just means someone else doesn't like him so much. So that you know, maybe someone said you shouldn't listen to it. They throw the term around. But the cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom is a real cherem. It's a real curse on an individual that if he violates these takanas, Rabbeinu Gershom hopes he drops dead. So these are very things that the Rabbeinu Gershom took very, very seriously. And so we take them very, very seriously. One of those things is that even though many sugyas in Maseches Gittin are predicated on the idea that if a husband divorces his wife against her will, she is in fact divorced, Rabbeinu Gershom put a cherem on anyone divorcing his wife against her will. It doesn't mean it was a big mitzvah to do it before he made the cherem. It just means that now there's a cherem on it. So the Rabbi Yehuda is discussing, let's say I make a shaliach to give my wife a get against her will. Is she actually divorced? Because to violate the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom is certainly an avera. You could argue that it's an avera even without the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, but even if you don't say that, certainly once there is a cherem, it's definitely an avera. So how does Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Avera work? Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Avera, does that mean that now this person who gave the get is no longer my shaliach, and therefore my wife is still married to me? Or do you say, no, that just means that the guy who gave the get, he's the one doing the Avera. I'm not doing an Avera. I just sat at home and waited for the whole thing to play out. I didn't do an Avera. He's giving my wife a get against her will. She's screaming, don't give me the get, I don't want it. He says, take it. Right? So, he's the one doing the Avera. Who told him to listen to me? So I don't get the Avera, but I'm still divorced at that point. Because it's not that the shlichus doesn't work, it just means I'm not liable for the negative act that was done. But the shlichus is real. So those are the two sides of the equation that the No de Bihuda plays with. Yeah?
Is there any liability?
Is there a liability on...
Yeah, like technically you're not getting punished for what you do, but like, is there a liability upon you for forcing shliach to do something?
Well, it certainly depends on how much you coerced him. Meaning, if you there's an isser, one of the worst isurim in the Torah is the isser of hasasa, to be maces a person, right? So that's dafka by avodah zara. To convince a person to do avodah zara is one of the times the Torah says you're not supposed to have any rachmanis on the person, and even though by all the other mises beis, and even a person who worships avodah zara himself, there's a mitzvah to be malamed zechus so that we don't actually kill the person. But by a mesis, a person who convinces others to worship Avodah Zarah, so we don't have any rachmanis, and we're not even trying to be malamed zechus on the guy. If it turns out that he's guilty, we don't like sit around and ask all the judges, come on, can't somebody come up with some reason not to kill this guy? We don't even do that. And so we don't like people who cause other people to do averis at all. Now, this person is not a formal mesis, but he's certainly in violation of certain isurim, like lifnei iver lo sitei michshol, and the like. But he's even that you could argue it's not real lifnei iver, because who told the guy to listen? You know, who told? You know, so it depends how coercive he really was. You know, so it's if the guy just decided, yeah, I don't care, I'll do it. So then who told this person to listen to you in the first place? Just because you put an idea out there, you put an ad on Craigslist, say, who wants to give my wife a get against her will? Some guy answered the ad, so that wasn't so coercive.
What happens if he doesn't pay him? Let's say I hire you, I think that's what you asked. I hire the
Shalia. Saying I did it for money?
I'll give you $500, you go and give this get to my wife if doesn't want it.
Right.
And then I don't pay you. You have recourse against me for the $500 that I contracted you to do it.
Yeah, you always have. Yeah, probably a lot of that depends on what the nature of the deal was, you know. But I think that's a separate issue anyway. Meaning, if the whole deal was predicated on the fact that in my own mind this was definitely going to lead to my being divorced. So then this guy can argue the whole deal was a mekach tos. I just didn't know the law. But if you say that, that it works anyway, so then, you know, yeah. Right, okay. But Lemaisa, the question is, what's the story with the shlichus? So those are two possibilities. No debut plays with these two possibilities. Okay, that's one issue. And if you look in the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 3, so he brings this up as well, and he throws in another possibility. He says, B'chol davar shlucho shel adam kimoso, chutz mi ledvar avera. Dekaim alon ein shaliach ledvar avera. So he's quoting from the Torah, who says that you can't have a shliach for a dvar avera. So this sounds very clear, that when it comes to an avera, the Ramah holds, it's not a real shlichus. It's not a real shlichus at all. And then the Ramah throws in a slight caveat. He says, v'davka shehashliach bar chiyuva. That's specifically in a case when the shliach is actually chayiv in this matter. Avalim eino bar chiyuva, havi shliach afil lidvar avera. She says, if he's not a bar chiyuva, for whatever reason, this law does not apply to him, so then he is a good shliach, even if the matter is an avera. So if you can come up with a case where the person is not a really chayiv in this din, even though the mishaleach is chayiv, so then it is considered good shlichus. So maybe that's the case over here. Maybe that's the case over here. I'm quote-unquote, a bar chiyuva when it comes to opening cans on Shabbos, because I hold that you're not allowed to open cans on Shabbos. But the shliach is not a bar chiyuva, quote-unquote, because he holds it's mutter to open cans on Shabbos. So he really is my shliach when it comes to opening up the can on Shabbos, because he's not a bar chiyuva, I am a bar chiyuva. So we said, in that case, there is a shliach, even l'dvar avera. You hear? So the Shach is not sold on this chilik of the Ramah, and he basically says that the Ramah is not correctly quoting his source. The source of the Ramah is a Hagos Maimoni. First he points out that the person who wrote the Makoros on the Ramah got the Makor wrong. It's not the fifth parak of Hilchos Shluchim, it's the second parak of Hilchos Shluchim. That's true. But then he says, if you read the Hagos Maimoni, he's quoting a Gemara in Bava Metzia, where the Gemara said, I sent a shliach, I said, this fellow borrowed a cow from me, I need you to retrieve it, because he forgot to give it back, and he's out of town, and I can't go get it, so please just go into his back, you know, into his backyard where he keeps his cows, and bring me back my cow. He brings me back the cow. 2 days later, the police show up at this guy's door. They say, you were spotted stealing a cow from such and such, this guy's house. And he says, no, I wasn't stealing. I was returning this guy's cow to him that this fellow borrowed. So he says, no, there was never such a business transaction. No, he never borrowed it. You just stole it and you gave it to this other fellow who sent you. So that's the case where we say that the mishaleach is chayev. So the Shach says, that's not because the shaliach was not a bar chiyuva, that's because he didn't know he was doing an avera. So the whole svara of ain shaliach l'dvar avera is divrei arav, divrei talmud, divrei mishomin, that's only if you know there's a reason not to listen. But if you don't even know there's a reason not to listen, so then you're going to be a shaliach. So the shach is not, it's a long shach, he's not, you know, it's not 100% clear how he holds, but he's not thrilled with this chilek of the Ramah. Yeah. Right.
If you know it's, if you know what is going on, the shell doesn't know what's going on. Right? And so I guess it's a similar case here, right? Is that a similar case where that shell, you know that it's not there.
Right.
And the shell doesn't know that it's
right.
not there. So you're a fire, the shell is fire.
Right.
So can you say that case compares to if you're sending someone, he thinks it's a much, he thinks everybody's doing
it. No, I don't think it's a good comparison.
Why?
Because the guy, let's say, the guy is coming. The guy opens the cans on Shabbos. It's not because he's an Am Haaretz. He doesn't know that there are poskim who say you're not supposed to open cans. He knows, Rosh Shlomo Zalman holds, it's 100% Heter Gomer to open cans on Shabbos. Rav Moshe also holds it's Heter Gomer to open cans on Shabbos. He says you're just not allowed to do it. But there are other poskim who say that it's Mamash and Issa Doraisa. So since I hold it's an Issa Doraisa, and this guy, he's not coming from a position of weakness. He knows the sugya in Binyan Bekalim backwards and forwards, and he just thinks that it's mutter. So he's not a guy who doesn't know. For a guy who doesn't know, so that's worse, according to the Shach. That's worse because then he's definitely your shliach. Right? According to the Ramah, he's only your shliach if he's not a bar chiyuva. According to the Shach, he's only your shliach if he doesn't know that it's an avera in the first place. So if you ask someone who just never, that's the solution to every problem. Find the biggest Am Haaretz you know, and say, can you, do this avera for me, that avera, steal this from me? Oh yeah, everything in the world is mine. Can you just go get it from me? Right? You can't do that. You can't do that, and because then all those cases of shlichus will relate back to you if the person just doesn't know any better. And l'chor, the Ramah would certainly agree to that. Ramah would agree that in a case where the person doesn't know that what he's doing is usser, certainly he had no reason to refuse the shlichus. Of course he's going to do what he was told to do, and that does relate back to the Mishalech. But the Shach is limiting the case to a case where a person doesn't know. The Ramah holds that it's even in a case where the person isn't chayiv. So the Ramah's case helps us in ours. I think it's a better example of our situation, because according to the Ramah, you would say that this is a problem of shlichus. This person holds that it's mutter, so he's ke'ilu like not even a bar chiyuva. And I hold that it's usser, so I'm making the person a shliach for me, and it's like he's doing it by my shlichus. So if you hold like the Ramah, you might still have a problem. If you hold like the Shach, I don't think you have a problem as long as the person knows what the whole thing is all about. Okay.
Both the Shach and the Ramah agree that the Mishalech is chayav, not the shliach. Okay, shliach, there is a question between the shliach. But both of them, even if the shliach know about it, that it's wrong, even no. Both of them think that it's the mishalech is chayav.
In the case where the shliach knows it's wrong?
In both of the cases, because even if he doesn't know, so everybody will agree that it's there. But if it's no, okay, the shliach, he has a brain.
Right.
Okay, he has a brain. So what? Still, the mishalech did something wrong.
Right.
So both of them will agree that the mishalech is chayav in both of the...
So the Ramah says only if the shaliach is not a bar chiyuva. If the shaliach is a bar chiyuva, so he should have refused.
Yeah,
once he does it,
the mishalech
is not chayav in that case.
Not chayav?
Right. He says that in a case of shliach l'dvar avera, there's no shlichut, and the mishalech is automatically out of it. The shaliach is on his own. That's he's left on his own because it doesn't relate back to the mishalech, because the shliach shouldn't have listened in the first place. And the Shach says even if he's not a bar chiyuva, still it doesn't relate back to the mishalech unless he doesn't realize that it's a problem. If he knows that it's asur, it's not shlichus either. It's only when he doesn't realize that what he's doing is an avera that it's considered a real bond to the mishalech. Okay. So that's a question over here. Whether or not you would have a problem of shlichus could be dependent on this issue of ein shlich l'dvar avera. Does it make sense over here or not? With this in mind, you can still offer some proof that it's mutter to ask someone to do it for you, and we don't care about shlichus in this case. Look in source number 5. So this is a very common thing during the summer months. A lot of times, I'll go to a plag a mincha minyan on Erev Shabbos, and then when you come out, you daven mincha, you daven kabbalah Shabbos, daven Maariv, you come out of shul, you see your friend driving to shul. So you stick your hand out and you say Shabbat Shalom, Good Shabbos, or you pretend you're throwing something at him. You say Shabbos, whatever you think is funny, I guess. So definitely has happened to me many, many times. I bring something with me as I'm driving to Mincha, and I leave it in my car. So am I allowed to ask this fellow to open up my car door for me and take out what I left in my car, even though he's going to be violating Shabbos, but for him it's not Shabbos? So am I allowed to ask him to do the malacha for me? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh omrim shemisha kibel alav Shabbos kodem shechoshcha, mutar lomar li Yisrael chavera lasos lo malacha. There are those who say that it's mutter to ask your fellow Jew to do malacha for you, even though you already accepted Shabbos. Umutter lehanos me osa malacha b'Shabbos. The kol shekein b'motzai Shabbos. And he says it's even more so on Motzai Shabbos. Let's say you keep a more machmir time after Shabbos is over, and this person already decided to end Shabbos at the regular time. So you're allowed to ask that person to do malacha for you as well. So that seems to be the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah explains the kevan shelachaveiro mutter ein iser amira shayech bazeh. Look at the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah; it's very interesting. He says, since it's mutter for your friend, there's no iser for you to tell him to do it. So if I was the Mishnah Berurah, I would have said, since it's not Shabbos for your friend, it's mutter for him to do it. And there's no iser for you to tell him. But he says specifically, since it's mutter for your friend. So it sounds a little bit like he's trying to be more inclusive in his lashon and say that since it's actually mutter for this person to do it, there's no reason for me not to ask him to do it. This is always a big question also for Americans in Israel, depending on what you hold about how many days to keep when you're in Israel. Some Americans will keep 2 days. So they will ask an Israeli on the first day of Chol HaMoed to do something for them. So many poskim offer a raya from this psak of the Shulchan Aruch that it's permissible, because for the Israeli it's not Yom Tov, it's Chol HaMoed. So he's allowed to do it. But for you, it's at least you're being machmir that it's a minig of Yom Tov Sheni. So then you're not allowed to do malacha. So maybe it's not 100% clear that this is the perfect proof to that, but there's some that want to suggest based on this mechaber. So it seems from, at least from this psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that we're not really concerned with the isser of shlichus for someone who holds that it's mutter. He's not really considered your shaliach. We're not really so worried that it's as if you're doing the Avera. And I think the simple explanation for why we're not really concerned with the Shlichus business is that's not really what Shlichus is. It's not really what Shlichus means. In even when you say Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoso, what does it really mean that your Shlich is like you? It means they can create a Chalos Mitzvah for you. They can create certain halachic efficacies that wouldn't be able to exist had they not been your shaliach. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's as if you did it, right? It's not 100% like your body performed the act. We discussed earlier in the summer certain things that you can't ask someone to go learn morning seder for you. You can't say, right? We gave the example. Sometimes say, well, where are you headed? I'm going to play basketball. Where are you headed? I'm going to learn. I need to get more exercise, and this person needs to learn more. So I'll say to him, have me in mind. And he says to me, have me in mind. Okay, so neither of us, I'm not going to get any more exercise because of that. He's not going to get any more Torah because of that. It doesn't work. You know, so that's not the way shlichus works. It's not really as if you did it. So when it comes to doing averus, are we worried about there being a halachic effectiveness to the action? If the person opens the soda can because I asked him to, it's as if I did it? You can't. The Isser of Chilul Shabbos is for me, with my body, not to do acts that violate the 39 Malachos. It's not as if, just because the person might be considered my Shaliach, doesn't automatically mean that it's as if I did it. Now, there is an opinion in Rishonim that disagrees with what I just said. They want to suggest that the Isser of, let's say, Amira La'akum in general, is based on Yesh Shlichus L'Nachri L'Chumra, that maybe for certain purposes we say that the Nachri is your Shaliach. Usually, in general, we say that a non-Jew can't be a Shaliach for a Jew. But maybe L'Chumra we say that the Shaliach could, the non-Jew could be a Shaliach. Generally speaking, we don't assume that doing a Maisa of Chilul Shabbos is really a din in Shlichus, in the classic sense. You had a question?
Is there a difference with something like making Shabbos early, for example, where it's not like you don't necessarily believe that you're chayav at making Shabbos early, you're just bringing it in so the other person totally isn't chayav, versus with the soda can issue where you think that the other person is doing a ser deraisa?
So the fact that you think they're doing anything wrong doesn't necessarily make it worse. Meaning, as long as they're really, that's really what they hold. There's some people that they say, you know, some people they say that, oh, there are three opinions in the poskim what to do here, so I'll just be lenient every time. And some people they say there's three opinions, I'll just be strict every time. You know, some people say I'll always take the middle sheet. That's not, you know, yeah. Assuming the person has a competent posek, and they're legitimately following the opinion of, that they learned to be the correct one, so they're not doing anything wrong, neither according to me nor according to them. We're both agreeing, I think that this is usher, but I don't think that you're doing something wrong when you do it. You know, that's the nature of halacha nowadays. We don't have a Sanhedrin, we don't have a Beis Din HaGadol to take a real vote and to paskin for all of Klal Yisrael what the actual halacha is. So each person has to follow, you know, has to follow the halachic process that's drawn out by their own posek. It's not that I view you as doing something wrong if you do it. I don't do it. You know, so it's not so dissimilar. The dissimilarity is that the dissimilarity between the two cases is that we're both agreeing it's not Shabbos for you. Right? It's not, this is what you meant? If I wouldn't have made Shabbos, so it wouldn't have been Shabbos for me either. It's not Shabbos. There's a difference between when it's not Shabbos at all for someone else, and like there are different starting times for Shabbos based on when someone is Mekabel Shabbos, as opposed to this is a Shaila where we're actually dealing with the exact same halacha, just I hold one way and you hold a different way. So you can draw a distinction, not that in either case I view you as doing something wrong, but you can make a distinction in the sense that it's the same metzias in the case of the soda can, it's a different metzias in the case of Shabbos. In the case of Shabbos, it is Shabbos for me, and it's not Shabbos for you. In the case of the soda can, it's the same shaila that's on the table. You know, so there maybe you could say that I can't ask you to do it, even though I would definitely be allowed to ask you to do something just because I made Shabbos early. So there's a slight distinction you can make. I think I wrote that down over there. Yeah, I threw in the second little paragraph over there. Okay. The last thing I wanted to investigate was, is there an Isser of Lifnei Iver? Is there an Isser of Lifnei Iver? Meaning, am I violating the Isser of placing a stumbling block in front of a blind man by asking you to do something that I hold as Asser? Even though we both agree that you hold its Mutter, and that's okay for you, but maybe since I hold its Asser, so then according to my Shita, I am causing you to do an Avera. So therefore, maybe that's an Isser of Lifnei Iver, right? The Lifnei Iver, when taken in its halachic sense, has two basic interpretations. Number one, don't cause someone else to do an Avera. And number two, don't mislead someone with bad advice. Right? The irony is, it might actually not be the actual Isser of Lifnei Iver to place a stumbling block in front of a blind man. It pretty much makes you a tremendous jerk, but it's not necessarily the Isser of Lifnei Iver. The Isser of Lifnei Iver is interpreted in the halacha figuratively more so than literally. It basically means don't give bad advice and don't cause someone else to do an avera. So, and sometimes there's a derabbanan form of Lifnei Iver, which is called Misayei Alidei Ovrei Aver, which means that Lifnei Iver is only violated when you could not have done the Avera without my help. Right? That's what the Gemara refers to as Tre Ivrei Denara, that if there's a Nazir on a desert island somewhere, and the Nazir says to me, can you please pass me that bottle of wine? So if you pass the Nazir the bottle of wine, then you violated Lifnei Iver because the Nazir would have had no other means of getting the wine. But if you were in a restaurant with a Nazir, and the Nazir says, can you please pass the wine? So when you pass the Nazir the wine, he easily could have gotten it on his own, or he could have gotten someone else to give it to him. Therefore, you're only in violation of the Nisr Darabanan called Misayei Alidei Ovrei Aver. So that's the two cases, but they're both forbidden. You're not allowed to help people do averos, even if they could have done the avera on their own. You're just not in violation of Lifnei Iver Doraisa. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was dealing with this question. It's relevant, I guess, for the coming year. He's saying, let's say you don't rely on the Heter Mechira when it comes to Shemitah. You don't like that, the Mechira, and you try not to rely on it, or you never rely on it. As far as you're concerned, the Heter Mechira is nothing. The fruits of Shvius that were grown under the use of the Heter Mechira are 100% Peros Shvius. And this other fellow, he holds that the Heter Mechira is completely valid. It's absolutely good. And he says that any fruits that were grown under the Heter Mechira, you're allowed to do business with them, you're allowed to do anything you want with them, they're regular. The regular peros, they don't have kedusha shvius, nothing. They're 100% good. So Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses: is it mutter for me to do business with this fellow, or am I violating lifnei iver by getting him to do maso matan with peros shvius? There's an iser derabanan to do business with peros shvius. So am I violating this iser of causing him to do an avera? So he quotes two sources to say that it's not an avera. On the top line over there, on the second side, he says, "Kimavor b'mabit, the sover shechayavim lino kedusha shvius gam b'shel nachrim." Right, the mabit wasn't talking about the Heter Mechira, but he was talking about land in Eretz Yisrael that was owned by a goy. They were at the time of the mabit. The mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo and the other great rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. At the time, I think he was in Yerushalayim. For some reason, I have in my head that he eventually gave in and went to Tzfat also. But I don't know. So the Mabit was talking about land that was actually owned by non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and he held that the non-Jew has no real ownership of the land, and therefore the land that a non-Jew grows food in Eretz Yisrael has full Kedusha Shvius. And he said, "Mikol Makom Kasav." Even though you should be careful, and if a non-Jew gives you peros shvius, you should treat them with the kedusha shvius. They're not allowed to, to buy or sell peros shvius for someone who's not careful. You're allowed to buy from those people. And you shouldn't worry about the fact that you're giving them money that was used to buy peroshvius. Gam mutter limsor lehem ma'at peroshvius shelo b'mida v'lo yachoshu lezeh shelo yochlim b'kedusha. You can give them some peroshvius and you don't have to worry they're not going to eat them using the proper boundaries. when you eat Peiros Shvius, you have to be very careful with how you treat it. So whatever, without getting involved. Kevan Shahadavar Lahem Heter Shesomchem Alamorim Lahem Heter. Since for them it's mutter, they rely on those poskim who say that there's no Kedusha Shvius. V'lo nidon osam ki'ivrim shelolitin lahem davar shenir lahem heter. We're not going to treat them like a lifnei iver situation where we don't give them something that they think is mutter. And so Rosh Shlomo Zalman just explains hare mevor de lo chayish klal lezeh she'alokeach mevakesh samocher lishkol v'gam mach shelo sam be'isur schor she'yesh rak al amocher. So he says, you see that the mabit is not concerned that you're getting the person to do business and to violate the isser of Peiros Shvius. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman is saying clearly, there's no isser of lifnei iver for a person who doesn't hold of the heter mechira to do business with a person who does hold of the heter mechira. So he says, just because you don't hold of it doesn't mean that it's a problem. He holds of it, and therefore you're allowed to. It's not considered lifnei iver. For you to do business with him. So the problem of lifnei iver, at least according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, is not a real concern in this case. Just a couple of other ha'aros that I jotted down on the sheet. So he says, perhaps it's always kedai in this case not to ask people to do things for you, because it's a question of mezalzel bechvod chavero, you're asking them to be the Shabbos goy for you. And it's not always so gishmak to always be asked to be somebody else's Shabbos goy. So I know one time my uncle in Eretz Yisrael, happens to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but probably the most machmir person I've ever met. And I just remember one time he accidentally forgot. He lives in Ezra's Torah, and he accidentally forgot and walked outside of his house in the wintertime with tissues in his pocket. And he's like, he starts flipping out. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, my Yehuda, kachetze. I was like, ani lo kachetze. He's like, lo yesh eruv. I'm like, hazma yitcha. He's like, ani lo samich la eruv. So I was just like, so I didn't understand why he was whatever. He doesn't do eruvin. So you can cross out that masechta and then but anyway. It was like, coming from him, I didn't mind being the Shabbos goy, but some people, might mind, and it's not so nice. So that's one concern to always keep in mind, to, not to ask your friends to violate what you consider to be below your dignity to do. Also, it's at least a little bit of a point of investigation. Is there an Isser in general of Amira LeYisrael? Meaning, the Chazal instituted Amira LeAkum because the main reason that's generally assumed by the poskim of Amira LeAkum is that it's an Isser of Maisa Shabbos and Zilzul Shabbos. That we didn't want people to just violate all the Isserim of Shabbos, so they would just have a non-Jew on staff, and that person would just be Mechal Shabbos for them. It's degrading to the Shabbos. So the question is there, even though there's no formal Isser of Amira LeYisrael, the question is, do all the reasons apply? Or you could just say, no, when there's an Isser, the Chacham made, so then I follow it. If the Chacham didn't make an Isser, so it's not my problem. I don't have to start making up new Isserim Derabbanan just because it's in the spirit of a different Isser Derabbanan. It's not our job to start inventing new Isserim Derabbanan. There's another issue you could say sometimes, that if the person is going to do it partially for his own benefit, and then I'm going to be able to reap the rest of the benefits. For example, in a case where it would be mutter to do Amir La'akum. Let's say I'm sitting in a room and it's completely dark, and I'm a little annoyed because I want to read a book. So my housekeeper, let's say, walks into the room. She sees that it's dark in it, so she's very nice. She flips on the lights and tries to help me out. So what's the halacha? I have to leave the room. I can't stay in the room because she only did it for me. So you're not allowed. There's two different issues here. There's an issue of asking a goy to do something for you, and there's also an issue of being nene from something that a goy did for you. But let's say it's a different case where I'm sitting in the room in the dark. The housekeeper comes into the room because she wants to get a book. So she turns on the lights. And now I'm in the room and the lights are on. Why did she turn them on? Not for me, for herself. So I'm allowed, and then she's about to leave the room. I say, do you mind not turning that off? You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to ask a goy not to do a malacha. So so in that case you're okay. So sometimes if my friend was about to drink a soda, he opens up the can, he's about to pour it in his cup. I say, you know what? Can I have that soda? So that might be Heter Gomer according to everybody, because he opened the can, which was Heter Gomer for him. Now I want to drink from it. So he's going to open up another can. But it's not like I'm actually making him do something wrong. It's not Lifnei Iver, we just said. So once he opened the can for himself, I'm allowed to ask him to use the can for myself. And then he can open up a different can for himself. So that would be a case where you don't even have to ask the person to do it wrong. Obviously, Alach L'maisa, you can ask your own Rabbanim. But I remember I once asked Rav Schechter what he thought about this problem, and he suggested that he thought it was in a case where you think that it's definitely usur min hadin, you shouldn't ask other people to do it for you. But if it was just a chumra ba'alma that you were doing, it would be mutter for you to ask other people. So this would, soda can example would be a good example, because most people who don't open soda cans don't refrain from doing so because they hold it's actually usur. Rav Moshe Feinstein has kemat the exact same tshuva that Rav Shlomo Zalman has. Literally, like, every source is the same. The way they learn the sources is the same. However, there's a Gemara in Shabbos which says in certain cases of binyan bekelim that you're not allowed to do. He said the Gemara says it's mutter, and you're not allowed to do it in front of an Amah Aretz. When it comes to opening kelim on Shabbos, there's often a very fine line between something which is mutter and something which is an iser d'oraisa. So therefore, cases which are mutter, sometimes the poskim will say, fall into that category of the Gemara, that you're not allowed to do it in front of anybody. Because even though you know it's mutter, but people are going to wrongly extrapolate from that to other cases. And therefore, that's how Rav Shlomo Zalman comes out lahatir on a lot of these cases of opening containers on Shabbos, and Rav Moshe actually holds the same thing, but he says that don't do it. He says it's the whole tshuva he wrote. He says it's all halacha v'lo l'maisa. It's mutter to do it, but don't do it. And so in that case of opening the cans, so that would probably, according to this hagdara that Rav Schechter gave, it would be mutter to ask someone else to open the can for you, because generally speaking, most people who are machmir like Rav Moshe, that they hold maker adin, it's mutter. And if somebody's maker like Rav Shlomo Zalman in that case, so it would be mutter to ask them to open it for you under that premise. Anyway, have a good night.